For Sunday, February 24th, 2019, welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. This morning we're going to hear from Pastor Arnie Berglund. Now, the recording got kind of messed up. The first few minutes are cut off, but really good sermon, so please do listen in. I'm going to go ahead and read the gospel reading, and then we're going to get right into Pastor Arnie's sermon. We are in Luke chapter 6 at verse 27, love for enemies. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The Gospel of our Lord.
First of all, it can be a challenge to the way one lives their life. That's not so much what I want to think about today. The danger of reading the Bible is that one can take specific sections or specific verses and boil all of Scripture down to what that passage says. So today's Scripture says, love your enemies. And is that the message of the Bible? Can we write those three words down on a sheet of paper and say that we somehow have it all figured out? Thomas Jefferson famously took the Bible and with a knife cut out those passages that he liked, pasted them together, and called it good. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus contrasts what his disciples had heard in the past with what they must practice as his disciples or followers. Jesus said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye. But I tell you, no resistance to one who is evil. You've heard it said that you must love your neighbors and your enemies. But I say to you, that you must love your neighbors and hate your enemies, but I say to you, love your enemies. Jesus is working to keep his disciples, to help his disciples, to live according to a law of love. But there's a problem with that, and herein is the danger. It's just not practical. A nice thought, love your enemies, pray for those who hate you, for people who want you to fail, or who hate you? Really? A second danger we find in reading Scripture is that we read it thinking it can be easily translated into our culture, that we can put on, read it with the lenses of our culture and think we understand. And now, without suggesting a way to water Scripture down, it's important for us to try to understand, to look through the lenses of those who wrote it, understand the context and how the words of Scripture might have been understood in a different time, the time in which they were written. So, for example, when Jesus talks about turning the other cheek, many Scripture scholars feel that Jesus is talking about a very specific, particular act that you and I may not understand. The Gospel of Matthew specifies that one should strike the right cheek. That means the blow comes from the back of the assailant's left hand. And therefore, it's regarded as an insult, not an assault. So some scholars say that when Jesus says the other cheek, the idea is that when you're insulted by a slap on the cheek, it's not a cause for a fisticuffs, but an insult that you should not retaliate against. Similarly, the word Jesus used when he talks about loving your enemies, it's not the same word that's used in other discussions of love in Scripture. Many of you know that in the ancient Greek language, the language of the Gospels, there are three words for love: philios, which was kind of a fraternal or friendly love. We get the word Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, from that word. Second of all, eros, a romantic love. But the word that Jesus uses here is a third kind of love. The word is agape, which is a sort of unquenchable benevolence or an invincible goodwill. Jesus says to agape your enemies, asking people, Jesus is asking us to agape people no matter what we do, no matter what they've done to us, and no matter who they are, no matter if they've insulted us or hated us, we're to agape them. And to never allow bitterness against them to invade our hearts and treat them with goodwill. So it doesn't mean that we have to love our enemies the same way as we might love our family members. It simply means that we need to open our hearts to listen and hear and try to understand, to pray for them. You know, it can be a lot easier to agape someone you dislike when you pray for them. Because when you pray for them, you know what? You just might find that you can come to see people the way that God sees them rather than the way that you see them. But even when we understand these things, even when we read those who've studied Scripture, these things can remain difficult. Loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you, it may be the hardest thing we're asked to do. Love your enemy, do good to those who hate you, turn the other cheek. Really? Really? That makes no sense. Win at all costs. It's only wrong if you get caught. Do unto others before they do unto you. These are the things that make sense in our world. In our church year, we are now at the end of the season of Epiphany, and the undercurrent of that season has urged Christians towards being transformed, to be doers of the word and not just hearers, to allow themselves to be changed somehow by God's love and grace. Can we be so changed as to believe that loving one's enemies is a good idea? In a world that gives little credence to such a thought, it would seem to be an impossible task. I would suggest it is possible only by remembering the one who handed out the assignment. Jesus said, love your enemies. Remember that Jesus is offering his followers advice about how that might work. Three things he says. He says, do good to them, bless them, and pray for them. Remembering what God has done for us, what God has done, although there would be no good reason for God to have blessed us. Jesus has done good work to us. He's blessed us and prayed for us with our feeble capacity to love our enemies, something that is beyond our reach. But by remembering what God has done for us, perhaps we can find that transformation. Perhaps we can find that source and strength to do the job. God loves us without condition. Even though we make a mess of things, even though we are disobedient, God loves us. And so Jesus says, love your enemies. He's asking of us something that goes beyond being difficult and impractical. He's asking us to do something that changes the game altogether. A love that goes beyond a reciprocal relationship. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. It's not about friendship that gives us a return for our efforts. Jesus says, love your enemies, and inherent in that assignment is the idea that we not become enemies ourselves. When Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, it's a call not to retaliate against those who abuse power and act unjustly, but a call to seek change in that injustice through loving and praying and doing good. It means that we set aside judgment and seek forgiveness. Jesus would have those who follow be grounded in love of enemy and the mercy of God so that healing and mercy and peace might have a foothold. Indeed, a difficult assignment. We are too broken and we are too self-interested for that kind of agape love. But as we reflect on the mercy and love that God has given us, we can begin to do what Jesus suggests. I don't think there's any question that we live these days in a deep-seated tension in our country, that there is an unprecedented division among us that keeps us from even beginning to have difficult conversations with one another, even begins to allow us to try and understand one another. Two books I've read this last year that have attempted to get at that. One is Deer Hunting with Jesus. The other is called Hillbilly Elegy, and both point to some of the reasons for the division in our country. The authors of both those books call it class warfare, and it's in the midst of such division, a division that's apparent even in this congregation, that we can take steps of hope and forgiveness and trust because Jesus has first loved us, so that we might begin to converse with one another in ways that bring healing and not division. We read a story from Genesis this morning that describes how Joseph forgave his brothers and the cruel misdeeds that they had visited to him. You know, his brothers had sold him into slavery, sent him off to Egypt. His father believed him to be dead. But when famine forces the family to go to Egypt where there is no famine, the brothers discover that Joseph is the one who has to give them help. Joseph would have every reason to seek revenge. But rather than revenge and retribution, Joseph says, don't be distressed or angry because you sold me into slavery, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Costly love, great effort. By the grace of God, remembering the one who came to preserve life, can we begin to heal, to forgive, to love as God calls us to? In a commentary on Luke, the theologian Richard Jensen said this, Jesus' word to us today is this, love your enemy, turn the other cheek, give your possessions to those in need, and judge not the lives of others. Be merciful as I have been merciful. I have come to nourish your entire life with my mercy. I have come to empower you with that mercy in order that you may indeed be transformed to a new kind of life. emboldened by a deep understanding of God's grace, an appreciation for God's mercy, we have been granted, maybe, just maybe, the ability to be transformed by the love of God so that we can step back from our incessant need to be right, that we can seek to truly listen and understand and know our enemies in a new way. And as we listen, we may begin to understand, to forgive, and to find that common ground that will lead to peace and hope. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord of the just and the unjust, we confess that your ways puzzle us. Your commands are difficult. It's not easy to bless those who insult us, to pray for those who abuse us. You summon us to love the ungrateful and the selfish just as we love those who are kind and generous. That's too hard a demand. In your mercy, God, forgive us, for we have cursed those who've cursed us. We have heaped scorn on the selfish rather than love. Deliver us from bitterness. Rescue us from hopelessness. And lift us from despair that we might hope and trust in your mercy and justice. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening and have a Christ-filled day.